could stand with me, please. This morning we have Brother Robert Curris. He'll be here this evening. I guess if you could say, he said he wanted a 2-cent introduction, but he's modest. He's got a bachelor's degree in psychology, a master of arts degree in counseling. He's an ordained minister of the United Pentecostal Church, and he's a discipleship pastor at Parkway Church in Oak Creek. He's also the founder of Training for Life Ministries. But if I were to look at Bob Kurz and sum him up, he's a man that has an incredibly deep relationship and love for God and an incredible love for people. Brother Kurz, we love you, appreciate you. Preach to us.
Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Appreciate the kind words from Pastor Grant. Hopefully we have a tape of that. I can bring it home to my wife. Well, praise God. So we have been singing about how great our God is. And I hope you've sensed that here this morning and not missed what God is trying to do here. I just don't tire of worshiping Him. You know, for over 40 years, been singing some of the same songs, and you would think that would get a little bit tiring, but it just doesn't, because our God is so great. And He's going to do something special here this morning, if you allow Him to, because that's the way His Word works. And don't ever, ever, ever let it be just another Sunday morning service. Let God do what He wants to do in your life. Praise God. I appreciate the Grant family, all of the members of it, and just the warm reception I always get at this church and the move of God here. I walked in this morning fairly early. There were just a few people in the church, but I was 2 steps into the sanctuary, and I just was overwhelmed with the presence of God. And I sometimes wonder how many millions of prayers have taken place in a sanctuary like this. How many miracles, how many healings, how many amazing conversions. And that's just so special that we get to be a part of that. The world does not know what they are missing, folks. Praise God. Well, I want to get into the Word here this morning. I want to talk to you about your destiny in life. Maybe you don't really know what destiny is. Let me give you the definition of destiny in general. It's the predetermined, inevitable, irresistible course of events in your life. Now, when we speak about your general destiny, there's a lot of things that people consider. You know, what am I destined to become? Will I have a great career? Will I embrace a loving marriage partner? Will I make a lot of money? Will I, you know, conquer Mount Everest? What is my real destiny in life? But that's not what I really want to talk to you about, because that stuff is just temporary. That stuff is just about this world, okay? And sometimes that stuff doesn't even sound as good as my few examples. Sometimes people are pursuing a carnal destiny, and it's a destiny that will bring them to eternal destruction. But I want to talk to you about your divine destiny. When we talk about the divine destiny, the predetermined part, it's predetermined by God. And it is irresistible if you won't resist it. And it is inevitable if you will accept it. So discovering your divine spiritual destiny, this is important stuff. This is not a responsibility to be taken lightly. It is to be pursued relentlessly. And I want to challenge you, when you consider your divine destiny, don't ever give up. Don't ever give in. Don't ever turn back. Don't compromise. And don't stop pursuing the destiny that your God has in mind for you. Because you know what? You're special. There has never been and there will never be another you. You are unique in all the world. Out of billions and billions of people, there's only one you. I sometimes marvel at this. You know, we have billions of people on planet Earth, and we, for the most part, we all have a head and a nose and 2 eyes and a couple ears, and yet every single one of us looks different. We are unique. Now, that doesn't mean you're so special personally, but it does mean that the God that made you is really special, okay? That he was able to do that. And that God who made you so unique in a world of billions of people, he has a plan for you to discover. He has a destiny for you. Unfortunately, even though we're sitting in a church pews and we're surrounded by the presence of God and we're good people with good intentions, not everybody believes that. Not everybody in this house really believes God has a destiny for me. But I want to tell you, nobody in the world can do what you can do. Nobody in the world can pray the prayers you can pray. Nobody can worship God the way you can worship God. Nobody can, share what Jesus Christ has done in their life the way you can share what Jesus Christ has done, because he did it for you and for you alone. And nobody has your individual talents to accomplish something of eternal value. You are truly one of a kind. So are you fulfilling, are you pursuing your divine destiny, or are you on spiritual cruise control? You know, there's a lot of distractions in our world, things that we really should avoid. We can pursue the wrong stuff, and we sometimes do. And sometimes we pursue the wrong stuff with a vengeance, don't we? And we get off on the wrong track. But God actually has a specific plan for each and every one of us. And you know what? He will bring his plans to pass if we allow him to. You have something to say about reaching your divine destiny. It may be inevitable, but it's only inevitable if you want it. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know what? It's never too late. It doesn't matter where you are at in your journey. Christ has begun a good work in you, and you know what? He's going to complete it. And you can say, well, I've messed up and I've missed things in the past and I'm not sure I'll ever discover my destiny. You cannot debate the truth of God's word. He has begun a good work and he will complete it. Now, there are defining moments in all of our lives where we get to embrace our destiny, okay? You've had some, I've had some, you'll have some more in the future. A young shepherd boy named David had one of those defining moments a long time ago when he bent down by a brook and picked up 5 stones and put them in his sling bag. That was a big defining moment. He had a choice. He could either embrace his destiny, his personal destiny, or he could run from it. Of course, he embraced it, and you know what? He changed the course of history. But I wonder how tragic it would be if he had seen his reflection in the water and got troubled about whether or not he could do this and saw, you know, I'm pretty small. I'm just a boy. I don't know that I can face a giant. We're talking about a slingshot battle here. And maybe he would have put the stones down and walked away and run from his destiny. Of course, we know it didn't play out that way. He actually ran to his destiny. He ran to that giant, okay? So he accepted and embraced his destiny. We need to do that. How many times have you been at your personal brook when you're picking up your stones and wondering if you can do this or not, and fear got in the way and you said, I can't do this. And you walked away from what God had designed just for you. That's tragic. Finding our spiritual destiny is always the result of accepting it when God places it before us. We have those encounters. And to do that, we must see beyond who we are and envision who God wants us to become. David had to see beyond who he was, a shepherd boy, and envision who God wanted him to become, a king. See, God had a plan for David long before he became king. He had a plan for you long before you ever got here, all right? Don't settle for less than God's plan. David stated in one of the Psalms, he said, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." You know what? You could make that same statement. God has an ordained plan for you that started before you were even born. David also understood something we sometimes fail to understand. He said, you know what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can we state that? Can we stand up and say, you know what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what? You can. Now, here's the problem. People look at stuff like that and they say, well, you know, that may apply to Pastor Grant. That may apply to people in my family who are more spiritual than me, but I'm kind of a loser. No, you're not. You're more than a conqueror. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique in all the world. We need to see our potential. You know, a long time ago, a young sculptor named Michelangelo discovered an 18-foot block of marble that had been discarded a half a century earlier by an Italian sculptor because he thought it was worthless. But Michelangelo saw something in that worthless piece of stone, and he envisioned something no one else was able to see. He envisioned a masterpiece called David that was trapped inside. And he believed all he had to do was remove the excess stone and David could get out. And so then he spent the next 4 years of his life chiseling and chipping away at the excess stone so that David could emerge, and he produced one of the greatest art treasures of history. God is busy chiseling and chipping away at the unwanted material in our lives, and we need to envision as God does that something can come out of this worthless-looking block of marble, and we can become a masterpiece. In fact, you know, Ephesians 2:10 in the New Living Translation says, we are God's masterpiece. Who's that talking about? That's talking about you. And it doesn't matter if you feel like a masterpiece or not. You are a masterpiece because God's word is true. And it says he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God wants you to do the good things he planned for you long ago and become one of his masterpieces. Vincent van Gogh said, Christ is more of an artist than the artist because he works in the living spirit and the living flesh. He makes men instead of statues. You know, what we sometimes see ourselves, or if we do, as anything less than a masterpiece in God's eyes, then I think we do God a grave disservice. I think we're saying, God, you know what? You don't know what you're doing with this sculpture thing. I don't think you can turn me into something special. But I know God wants to put all of his works of art on display for the world to see. He's got a lot of masterpieces out there. And he wants each one of us to fulfill our purpose, you included. Do you know that we all start out as one-of-a-kind originals? Here's a statistic that will blow your mind. Do you know what the mathematical probability is that you personally could receive the same 23 chromosomes as your mom and your dad? 1 in 100 trillion chances that that could happen. You are absolutely unique in God's world. 1 in 100 trillion. Unfortunately, despite all this amazing uniqueness that we have, too many of us just end up being carbon copies of someone else. You know, David gets to the battlefield. He finally winds up in King Saul's tent. And King Saul dresses him up like a little King Saul. You know, he puts his tunic on him. He puts his armor on him. He puts his helmet on him. He puts his spear in his hand. And David did look like a small clone of a really tall king. But you know what? David resisted being someone other than himself. We need to resist being somebody other than who God created us to be. You're not 1 in 100 trillion by accident, okay? God had already prepared David to be good enough with a slingshot. He didn't need to pretend to be a king. He could face the giant as himself. Because he was called by God to do something that only he could do. It was his destiny. It wasn't Saul's destiny. It wasn't his brother's destiny. It was David's destiny. And just like there were things that only David could do, there are things that only you can do. Do you know that there are some things in this world? This is amazing to me. But there are some things, I'm the only person in the whole universe that can do them. You are the only person that can do some things that you do. You are the only person that can do what you do. And you, individuals, are the only people who can do what you're supposed to do. So what about fulfilling our destiny? What does it really require? Well, it seems to me it requires some courage, it requires endurance, it requires persistence. In other words, it doesn't just happen by accident, does it? Now, let me tell you a fascinating story to help you understand this. In 1948, a man named Korzak Ziolkowski. Well, you know, if you get born with a name like Korzak Ziolkowski, you're destined to be at least recognized and perhaps famous, okay? But in 1948, Korzak Ziolkowski began carving the Crazy Horse Memorial in the Badlands of South Dakota. I'm sure some of you have been there and you've seen how far along that structure is. At 563 feet tall, it would be the largest sculpture in the world. 8 feet taller than the Washington Monument and 9 times larger than the faces on Mount Rushmore. When someone asked Korzak, why would you spend your entire life on such a monumental task? Because he did. He spent every waking moment on this task. He said, when your life is over, the world will ask you just one question. Did you do what you were supposed to do? You know what? When your life is over, the world's going to ask you just one question too. Did you do what you're supposed to do? And I think God's going to ask that question too. Did you do what you're supposed to do? Did I do what I'm supposed to do? Did you do what you're supposed to do? Now, I'm not encouraging you to go carve some monument in South Dakota, okay? And I'm not going to tell you that Ziolkowski necessarily did what he was supposed to do, but he thought that's what he was supposed to do. He dedicated his life to it. He passed the vision on to his wife, who has hired multitudes of people to continue the work and has raised millions of dollars to keep the project going after he died. And now his children are embracing the vision. And even though it's a temporal thing that has no real eternal value, I'm kind of impressed by that. That maybe with the eternal things of God, we could cast a vision to the next generation that would continue after we're gone. Because we have done what we're supposed to do with our lives. So are you striving to be who you're supposed to be? You know what? We can all make excuses for not becoming who we're destined to become. We can dwell on our perceived disadvantages and our shortcomings and all the stuff that gets in the way. Or we can overcome that stuff in the strength of the Lord. You know what? I'm not all that interested in your pity party stories. I'm compassionate as a man, or I wouldn't be a counselor. But when all is said and done, I don't really care what you think. I care what God's word says. And God's word says you're more than a conqueror. Okay? You know, and it doesn't matter who believes in you. No, nobody believed in David except the prophet Samuel, God, and David himself. But you know what? That was good enough for David. He was the youngest son. He's the shepherd boy. You know, he's left behind when the big boys go off to war. And his dad viewed him as somebody who was maybe worthy to deliver messages to the real men. But God saw him differently. And I think David sensed that. And so he spoke up with a humble yet holy confidence. He spoke about his past accomplishments guarding his dad's sheep. And he spoke about his present confidence in his God in facing this giant. He was embracing his destiny. And I think he understood that God was at work preparing him long before he ever got to the battlefield. I admire that in David because you know what? That's the part we usually don't like. We don't like the preparation part because it requires patience. What do we want? We want a trouble-free destiny. Yeah, I want to get where God wants me to go, but I don't want to pay the price. You know what? I can humbly tell you, I preach better now than I did 40 years ago. I know more about parenting now because I've chased kids around for a lot of years. I was administrator of a Christian academy. I've seen a lot of the problems. I have a little more experience. I have a little more expertise. I have a little more wisdom. But you know, was that journey always pleasant? Was David's journey always pleasant? But no, he was moving toward his destiny. See, we'd all like to do something special for God, but we don't like to wait for God's timing very often, do we? We don't like to spend too much time tending sheep. And I think David probably complained about that now and then. How come I have to watch the sheep? My brothers are out having all this fun in war. And I doubt if David could have realized the value of singing to sheep and playing songs to them before he became the greatest songwriter in the history of the world. We need patience for God's plan to unfold in our lives. But you know what? We are often consumed with wondering what we're going to do when God is more interested in who we're going to be. The ultimate objective in every situation in our lives is really to cultivate Christ-like character in us. God can't get you where he wants you to go until you become who he wants you to be. And you know what? Maybe that's what's been holding some of us back. We want to go someplace, and God wants to take us there, but we're not willing to become what he wants us to become because we won't be patient enough for the refining process to bring us there. What I'm saying is, without character, you can't fulfill your destiny. And David gives us this marvelous example of that very thing. I mean, he had already trusted God for so much. We know he did kill the giant, you know? He went out there and he started on his path. He was embracing his destiny. And we fast forward a little bit in his life. It seems like he should have been leading, and yet he's running. Why is that? Because God couldn't promote him until he tested him. You see, David had a chance to promote himself by killing King Saul in the cave. He was even encouraged to do so by his men. Kill him. You're already anointed to be the next king. Just kill this guy. You know he's a bum. God's displeased with him. Just kill him. God orchestrated this. Sometimes people speak into your lives about what they think your destiny is. That's not what I'm interested in. I want to know what God thinks my destiny is. You know what the cave incident was? Another defining moment in the life of David. In fact, it may be the biggest defining moment in David's life. It was the moment that would determine his spiritual destiny. It was a character test. And you know what? We all have moments like that in our lives, and sometimes we pass and sometimes we fail. Do you know that this defining moment for David was a bigger moment than fighting Goliath? Killing Goliath took courage. Not killing Saul took character. Killing Goliath took power. Not killing Saul took willpower. And sometimes not doing what we have the power or the ability to do is the clearest sign of how much power we really have. I mean, if you want to find your divine destiny, you have to allow God to refine your divine character. And that's the part we don't always like. Here's the reality, how this plays out. If God could not trust David in the cave, he wouldn't be able to trust him on the throne. So, big question this morning. Can God trust you in the cave? Can God trust you to display true Christian character when your impulses are begging you to do something otherwise? Can he trust you in the cave when nobody's looking? You know what? His band of 30 men, however many of them were in that cave with him, they wouldn't have busted him out if he'd killed Saul. They'd have covered it up. They wanted him to do it. But God was looking. So David said, I can't do this. I can't touch God's anointed. Why? Because I have character. And I really do want God's destiny for my life. I'm not going to mess this thing up. David refused to come down to Saul's level. That's called character. Here, let me make a bold statement. I don't have scripture for this, but I feel I'm right. If David had killed Saul in the cave, he would have never become king. God would have had to look for someone else. You kill Saul in the cave, and you're not going to get where God wants you to go. It's that simple. But David refused to listen to the voice of other people. Instead, he listened to the voice of God. That is so important because we have the ability not only to fool ourselves, but to be swayed by the influence of other people. C.S. Lewis said in Mere Christianity, your real new self will not come as long as you're looking for it. It will come when you're looking for him. That's what we need to be doing. David wasn't looking for his own promotion. He was looking for what God wanted to do. And you know, David learned this lesson, though, the hard way. He was not faultless through his life. You know, he found himself at one point in the wrong place at the wrong time looking at the wrong thing. Bathsheba was her name. We know that story. He should have been off fighting a battle. Instead, he was home feeding his flesh. And you know what? We've all got some experience doing that. We're supposed to be at the prayer meeting, but we're not. We're supposed to be studying to show ourselves approved in God's word, but we're not. We're supposed to be faithful in our attendance to church, but we're not. We're too busy feeding the flesh. So David's not the only one who went through something like that. But when we are not actively pursuing our divine destiny, you know what we find ourselves doing? Pursuing our carnal destiny. And that's a dead-end street. You cannot fulfill your destiny in Jesus Christ if you allow sin to get in the way. Repentance is not a one-time deal. We need to be bringing our sins and shortcomings to God on a daily, regular basis. You know, for a while there, David did what we all have a tendency to do. He forgot who he was. And he forgot whose he was. He thought he could hide his sin because he failed to realize that God loved him way too much to allow him to do that. God was saying, I'm not going to let you do this. And you know what? I'm talking to the prophet Nathan right now. I'm not letting you do this. I love you too much. You're a man after my own heart. You're the shepherd boy that said, is there not a cause? You picked up 5 smooth stones and you went out to face a giant. I've been working my destiny in your life for a long time. I'm not going to let you mess this up. To me, that's good news. God never allows us to conceal our sins. He convicts us so we can repent, and then he forgives us, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He sees us through the eyes of Calvary. You know what? David was not perfect, but he was a man after God's own heart. God saw beyond his transgressions because of the condition of his heart. And you know what? He'll do the same thing for you. But you need to make sure your heart's right. You can't be playing games in the cave when you think no one's looking. I like to think about the fact that, you know what? God's looking. God's listening. God's watching. Listen to an amazing scripture in 1 Kings 15:5 about David. It says, David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. Now that sounds like, man, that kind of dooms David. He messed up with Bathsheba. And then he sends her husband to be killed by his commander, Joab. This is serious stuff. But David was not defined by his sin. And neither are we. You know what? Your mistakes may define your past, but they do not need to define your present or your future. You can make things right with God if you desire to. I'm going to close with a few thoughts. Why don't you stand with me? But pay attention. I want you to hear this out till the end. You know, I'm convinced that like David, you can find your divine destiny, that God is not done working in your life. And it doesn't really matter how far down the trail you have strayed. Mind, you can see yourself as a complete loser who has messed up big time, and your lip is dragging on the ground almost every day, and you live with guilt and shame, and you're allowing Satan to condemn you. You know what? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is the convicting power of Jesus Christ in our lives, and we should welcome that in. But I know this, God is still busy chiseling and chipping away at the unwanted material in your life to reveal the real you. Now, here's the problem, though. Sometimes we don't want him doing that. No chiseling today, God. You know, I don't want... We are so stubborn. We won't say it in these words, but our lifestyles betray us. We're saying, Lord, I'm not going to let you chisel away the hatred in my life. I live with that hatred. I'm not going to let you chisel away the spirit of unforgiveness. I've embraced that spirit for far too long. I'm not letting go that easy. You know what? I'm going to just stand here like an 18-foot block of marble and look worthless to the world because I feel worthless. We pick up some companions along the way that God wants to chisel out of our lives. We sometimes say, you know, you can chisel all you want, but you're not chiseling away my pride. You're not going to get to this little area of my life. But you know what? If Michelangelo gives up before he's done chiseling, we don't have the statue of David. We don't have one of the great art treasures of the world, okay? If he had given up before it was done. But here's the good news. God doesn't give up before it's done. You know, I wake up sometimes and God's been chiseling away while I'm sleeping. I haven't even given him permission to come into my bedroom and he's still working on me. And I know if we will give him access, he will keep creating a masterpiece in us. This isn't for our glory. This is for his glory. Don't forget, you are a masterpiece being formed in his image, and you need to allow him to work in your life. You need to discover your divine destiny. You need to find his will for your life. And you know what people say? It always comes down to the practical stuff, really. I'm not into Bible theory. I'm into Bible life. Well, how do I do that? How do I define my destiny? God's got this plan for me. I don't know what it is. How do I find it? You know what? You find his general will in his word. And then you find his specific will on your knees. And if you will be obedient to the word of God, and you will do God's general will that we're all supposed to do, if you will love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, if you'll be a forgiving person, and if you will humble yourself, and on and on and on we go, then God says, you know what? Here's somebody that I can give a specific destiny to. And I see them in their prayer closet, and I hear their prayers, and I watch them on their knees, and I can lead them to a brook where they're going to pick up some stones, and they're going to face the giants in their lives, and I'm going to produce something marvelous in them. They will be a masterpiece for my glory. I don't know about you, but I want God's destiny for me. And you know, I'm not there yet. You might say, well, yeah, you get to preach all over the world and people know you and like you. You've got your destiny. I don't have my destiny yet. I'm still moving toward it. I got all sorts of rough spots God wants to smooth off with the sandpaper and chisel away, just like you do. But I need to let him keep working on me. You need to allow him to keep working on you. So I'm going to invite you to this altar today, but would you do me a favor? Would you do yourself a favor and God a favor? We all have the potential to come up here today and just bring our regrets. This is not a regret message, okay? You can come up here wailing and saying you missed your destiny so many times and you're on your third marriage and your kids hate you and you're bankrupt. And I mean, you can come up with all the junk, right? I've missed it for so long, there probably isn't much hope for me. I don't want you to bring your regrets. I want you to bring your resolve. God, I'm going to be persistent. I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I'm not compromising. I'm not turning back. I will be persistent in this thing, God. And I will not be fearful. And I will not run from my destiny. But I'm going to come up here and I'm going to open my heart to you. And when you reveal the next step in my journey, however insignificant or small it might seem to be, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to start moving ahead in the right direction with you. And today's my starting point. So praise God. Can I get some Davids to come up here today? Would you fill this altar? And would you begin right now to seek his face? It's amazing that the God of creation, the God of the universe, actually wants to reveal his divine destiny for each and every one of us as individuals. For the ones that are already here at this altar, for the ones praying at their pew, for the people lifting their hands, for the people bowing their heads, for the people that will kneel before the Lord today, he is going to work on you to finish the work that he has begun, and we're going to give him a chance to do that here today.